What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Mike, we talked about this on our Behind the Curtain show. We were saying he's been doing this a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's pretty polished when you talk about how to handle himself in front of these microphones and what he wants and how he wants to come across, which is great. But it also is the reason why you feel good. He didn't get up there and clown around and make a fool of himself. And, you know, you're like, oh, my God, we're going to hire this guy. You're like, that's Matt Ryan. And it felt good for Falcon fans. Now, again, it doesn't equate to winning. We don't know what that's going to look like. But I think, Mike, that's why a lot of Falcon fans are upbeat about this.
Right. Look, he gets it, and you said it. He's also media savvy. You nailed it. I mean, he's been in front of a camera. If you take it back to his time in Boston College for 25 years, he knows what he's doing. And now you hope that he's got the vision to do something that they weren't able to do the last specific 8 years. You know, and to give Arthur the strong advice, and hopefully Arthur takes it. See, my concern is, why am I being such a hard hit on this? Is that they come up with great stuff and we would sign off on it. Fans would be excited, and Arthur goes, I not so sure about that.
Oh, come on,
and I just
come on,
and I worry. That's what I'm. That's my fear, and I hope I'm again hands in the air. I hope I'm wrong.
All right, Brian McFadden, BMAC. Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach who has just stepped away. Mike Tomlin ends a 19-year run as the Steelers head coach. I know Falcon fans are going, wait a minute, are we going to talk to him? More about that in a minute, but let's talk to BMAC because...
Yeah. Who better?
Yeah, Brian McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, by the way, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your initial thoughts? I mean, this came pretty quickly after the loss last night.
Man. Honestly, guys, I'm not surprised. Some of the things I was hearing before last night's game kind of insinuated that this potentially could become a reality, honestly. Hmm. I didn't say too much about it because I was hoping that it wouldn't be true. Mm-hmm. But once I heard that it was official, no questioning. You know, for me, you know, it sucks because you guys just stated, you know, as a coach, I played – for there in Pittsburgh. Heck, my first introduction to Mike Tomlin was in the 2005 Senior Bowl because the Buccaneers staff actually had the South squad, the squad that I was a part of, and he was a defensive back coach. And oddly enough, his cornerback assistant coach was Raheem Morris. Hmm. So that was my first intro with both of those guys. And we hit it off instantly. And then 3 years later, he is my head coach in Pittsburgh. And till this day, he treats me like I'm a part of the team. You know, we have this thing in Pittsburgh, once a Steeler, always a Steeler, is what we say.
Right.
And he embodied that from start to finish. And even when I go back to Pittsburgh for a game or for training camp, he makes sure everyone in the building know whatever BMAC needs, BMAC gets. Now, mind you, I was a decent player, but I wasn't a superstar player for the organization. And oftentimes, as you guys know, some players are treated differently, especially when they retire. But he treated me just like if I was Big Ben or if I was the Bus or Hines Ward. And that's just the integrity that he has in terms of just being a good guy. So for me, I understand the life of the NFL. But, yeah, it sucks because I felt like in the midst of all the criticism and lack of postseason play, Pittsburgh, they're losing a really, really good coach.
You know, it's one thing you hear about him that he's like a dying breed, you know, that he's an OG, Bryant. You know, he's that motivational guy, and now you got a league of these offensive geniuses out there. And to be quite honest, you know, his offense has been horrible. It's been painful. It was painful last night. How much of this do you put on him or the GM for not loading him with better players the last couple of years?
Well, I'll say this much. When you've been in one spot for 19 years and you've won a championship, nothing happens on the roster without your say-so. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you've earned the right to have say-so over who comes, who leaves. You know what I mean? You guys know how it is. No question. Right. That's like what we saw with Bill Belichick. Even though Bill Belichick was the head coach, he was acting as the GM. also in New England. Now, in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin didn't have that GM title, but clearly he had a voice to what happened or what was not going to happen, what wasn't going to happen. So to answer your question, Mike, I have to give him a lot of the blame because Omar Khan became the GM, what, 3 years ago? When Omar was in the building working as, you know, one of the front office officials, he saw how Mike Tomlin moved when Mike Tomlin was working with Kevin Colbert, who was the GM. So when Omar took over, Mike Tomlin was already heavily in tune to the personnel. So even though Omar might have an idea about which direction you want to go with a certain player, at the end of the day, it would be Mike Tomlin's final say-so.
Bryant McFadden joining us. Mike Tomlin, legendary coach of the Steelers, stepping away, Super Bowl champion, never had a losing season. And he is voluntarily stepping away. So we're just getting some more input here from BMAC. From a player's perspective, we keep hearing players love him, players love to play for him. You're talking about how he treated you even after your playing career. What makes him special? Let's get away from the wins and losses. What makes Tomlin special? Is that connection with the players?
The connection with the players, the ability to relate, and just the love he has for the game. Mike Tomlin is a very, very instinctive coach. And, you know, my cousin, Pat Peterson, he played a year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he used to tell me some of the things that Mike Tomlin would tell them on a Thursday, and it would actually happen on Sundays. He was like, he's never been with a coach that kind of foresaw the future. But I'm like, yo, Pat, the man loves the game. And he was very, very, the intellect, football intellect, was at an all-time high. So when players see that, they instantly respect you because they know, man, you're devoting every hour, every second, it feels like, to this game for us to be at our best. So now players follow suit to what you're telling them. And also, too, man, just the realness that he has. You know, oftentimes when a veteran comes to Pittsburgh, they always rave about, man, Coach Tomlin is a really, really good coach. Man, I wish I had this type of coach my entire career. Hey, we heard that time and time again from Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Aaron Rodgers, even he harped about it last night, man, Mike Tomlin's one of the best I have ever been around. Heck, he's only been around him for 1 year. Not even a full year, Aaron. But that's just the impact that he has, you know, the relatability that he has. Regardless of where you come from, regardless of your background, regardless of, you know, who you've been around, man, you relate to Mike Tomlin and he relates to you, and he does so in a respectful way.
You think he'll take a gap year? Bryant McFadden, by the way, who played and won two championships with the Steelers, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. I don't know. I said to Carl, I don't really see Mike Tomlin as a guy doing the har-har-har in a studio. You think he takes a year off and then gets back in it, or what do you think?
Before I answer that question, Mike, Carl, I'll say this. He will coach again. He will coach again for sure. I'm telling you that. And I'm just going off of my instincts because the last few times I was with Mike Tomlin this year, right? Well, not 2026. I haven't been to Pittsburgh in 2026, but in 2025. And the conversation that I had with Mike Tomlin, we were just talking ball. The man loves football. Talking to him felt like this was his first year coaching in the National Football League when we were just having our candid conversations. So it's hard for me to believe 4 or 5 months ago, between that period of 4 or 5 months, that he instantly lost love for the game. So if he still loves the game, like I believe he loves the game, eventually he's going to get back into it. So I think he takes a year off. I do. Heck, he potentially could be my colleague at CBS.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. That could be a tease for you guys. You have to wait and see. and he would do well sitting at the desk, you know, with guys like Bill Cowher and JB and Nate. He would do great at that. But I think he takes a year off. I think he comes back in 2027. And makes a play. But I'll say this, you know, for you guys, you know, I never played for Atlanta, but, you know, I rock with you guys heavy, 92.9 the game. And because of that, you know, me living in Atlanta, I have a soft spot for the Atlanta Falcons. I do. You know, they're like one of the few teams that I cheer for in the NFC. And if I'm Arthur Blank, I hit every connection, contact that I have to get to figure out how he feels. Because if I'm off the blank, I understand you interview Harbaugh, Stefanski. I got to see what's going on with Mike Tomlin. Because if you can get Mike Tomlin to a place like Atlanta, you don't have to worry about trying to sell out the big body bins. It's going to sell out. You don't have to worry about a coach not being able to relate to the community. It's going to relate. And you don't have to worry about a coach being able to do more with less. Because let's keep it real, guys.
He did.
Every year, Mike Tomlin, not every year, I'll say the last 6-7 years with Mike Tomlin, when you look at what he had to coach in Pittsburgh, he did more with less because he had no quarterback. And I understand people will say, well, you got to look at the quarterback situation now currently in Atlanta. Well, it's kind of better than what he had over the last few years in Pittsburgh. Honestly.
I agree.
And if you tell me Mike Tomlin can get to the NFC South, one of the more winnable divisions in the National Football League, and he won't be successful, come on, man. The man's been battling Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson for the last 6-7 years, man, and still winning. What you think he'll do with the likes of, no disrespect, Tyler Shuck, Bryce Young, and Baker Mayfield? All I'm saying is they ain't Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. As you said earlier, toughest division in sports. You're right.
Yeah. All right,
so,
man.
So if I'm Matty Ice, my former colleague, man, you got to pay to see what's going on.
I agree. We said that when we got the news today. Breaking news today as we started the show. Tomlin steps away from the Steelers. Trying to get some more insight. B-Mac, great job, man. We'll keep an eye out and see what goes on. And we're going to talk to you again before the week's up here as we get ready for another great round of football with the division round coming up. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
That's right, man. Thanks for jumping on, B. But you see what Diana Rossini just posted?
No. What'd she say?
John Harbaugh continues to gather information about his next landing spot. She's told, this is Diana Rossini,
okay,
Giants, Falcons, Titans.
Let's go!
Are considered the favorites to land the former Ravens head coach.
Let's get it!
Hopefully Matt, again, this is where Matt comes in, and Matt sold us. He sold us to John, and, you know, we get that second interview. That's what we're all waiting to hear. So everyone's freaking out. You didn't see him face to face? No, they... I think Matt is capable of having a phone conversation with John Harbaugh. But again, guys, I know you want it yesterday, Carl. It's got to play out, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. Matt, make the hire. All right, we're coming back. Man.
I've got to sound off on it, Carl.
A lot going on. We will get to 4th and 1. By the way, our segment with B-Mac is brought to you by our friends at Wise Guys, guys. Again, it's Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let them hook you up. They do pressure washing. They'll clean your house. They do all the different things, guys. All right, we're coming back. We got a lot more to chop up. More Matt Ryan comments on the way. If you missed his presser today, we got you covered. It's Dukes and Bell.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
It's all about Matt Ryan today, outside of all the NFL news and coaches deciding to move on, including Mike Tomlin, who stepped away voluntarily from the Steelers. More on that coming up. But, Mike, as we talk about this role for Matt Ryan, GM's role will be exactly the same, as he said, and Matt will hire the coach and the GM and oversee. The phrase from our owner, in Arthur Blank, was, encourage people that they have to do their own job. That is what he said Matt would do today in regards to, like, his role on this. Matt, Mike, and we discussed this yesterday, and you guys were busting chops. You and Oren and Day-Day were, you know, saying what you wanted and what you needed from Matt. And I said, guys, he can't do all these jobs. He can't wear all these hats.
Yes, he can. He can be Super Matt.
he can't do it. So when Arthur said that today, you know, this encouraging, and then he used the word, what was it, authority? Authority was the word?
I don't like to use power.
That's right.
We're not saying power. I have the power. I'm off the blank. I approve this message. Yeah, man, look, Matt's going to – look, it's a fresh approach, new set of eyes. And again, we all know what it was in the past. It ultimately came down to Rich McKay. And Matt is a guy that's going to – look, Greg Beadles is involved, and Beadles has been in this organization going back for years. But it's still Matt. And you like to think that Matt's, you know, football, you know, savvy and knowing and talking to folks around the league – You know, and again, if you really like the veteran, the one thing we've never had here is the guy who's done it. The only, as I said to Carl, the only guy that that Arthur ever had was Dan Reeves, but he didn't hire Dan Reeves. He was hired by the Smith family. But Arthur has never hired a coach to come in here who was the head coach of a championship team.
Yeah.
And so that would be, you know, and that's, so you use the phrase gravitas. You said it. And building the culture. And then people want to know, well, who are the assistants? You know, does Ulbrich stay in a situation like that? Does he go? You know, is a guy like Todd Monken coming in if it's Harbaugh? Who's your OC? Would a guy coming in like Harbaugh be even interested in a Mike McDaniel as an OC? Don't know.
I think, Mike, those two, well, first of all, the head coach is the most important hire. But then after that, you're OC and you're DC, right? And look, we can't take this special teams coordinator for granted either.
No, that's okay? That's job one.
We just can't. Right. So if you're going to say in the pecking order, and here's what's interesting too, Matt said today, and we're going to play more of this as we move along through the show. He's not opposed to hiring a defensive guy. And I think many of us were like, wait a minute. We got Michael Penix here, bro. You got to hire an offensive guy. He said, no, we need the best guy. And he said, you look around the league and some of these defensive coaches that are head coaches are working. They're working because they got the right OC. That's why you can do that. But if you're going to go that route, and this gets back to the Harbaugh thing, like he's not an offensive coordinator necessarily, not a defensive right. guy, but knows how to hire and bring in the right people. That's part of this. But I thought that was interesting, Mike, because I was really like, we need to go offense. We need to make sure this is a – and if you bring in a young offensive mind, some of these guys we've even mentioned, or some of the guys that we like apparently – then maybe that takes the burden off of bringing in a defensive-minded
right.
head
that's,
coach.
That's why I like. Look, I get it. There's no risk it, no biscuit. Yeah, if you know, for every Sean McVay, you've got guys that just did not pan out. Like Cliff Kingsbury, kind of had a strange set of circumstances in Arizona's quarterback, kind of got him. But I still think that Kubiak for me makes the most sense if he's amenable to, and I think he would be.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I got your. You just focus on making Michael Penix the best quarterback he can be. Ulbrich's got the defense. You hire your team's coordinator. Let's go to work. You know, and look, we all know it, and it's funny. I was joking with Carl, or like Matt's like, you know, what are you looking for here, Matt? Yeah, I want to bring in some egomaniacs, guys who really say their way or the highway. No, I mean, you've got, but you know what, guys? It is so much easier said than done.
It is.
The NFL is littered with GMs and head coaches who didn't get on the same page, and we don't have time for that here. So you got to make this, I'll say it again, got to thread that needle.
Yeah, Mike's right about that. I mean, that's, and Arthur Blank today, what was the word that this is happening? At the same time.
Wants the planes to land at the same time. So yes. As in two planes, GM and head coach.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that because I don't want – look, we got to get off on the right foot. I'm fine with that. I just think the GM urgency is not there as much as the head coach, and that's only because of the timing.
Right.
And if you're going to beat some of these other teams to the guys that you potentially want, and Mike just read a report from Diana Rossini who says, look, Falcons are in the mix for Harbaugh. These are the teams we believe that he – you know, is more interested in. And it gets back to him. We could be the perfect place. But if he doesn't want to come, he doesn't want to come. He doesn't right. want to be there. So that's the other part about this is as much as I'm stressing, that's who I want, that's who I need. It's an L if we don't get him. If he doesn't want to be here, Mike, then that's not going to happen. But according to Diana Rossini in the report you read, at least we're in the mix, and yeah. I'm happy about that.
And kind of interesting, related to John Harbaugh, Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, doing their end-of-season press conference, asked if the field goal was made by Loop last week to beat the Steelers, would Harbaugh still be your head coach? He goes, for a week.
Ooh.
So in other words, the expectations were basically Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it always should be at that level.
No, I agree. Totally, I agree. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up in talking about Matt Ryan. And by the way, you feeling more comfortable? A little bit?
Look, I know that Matt Ryan can do this job. The guy's like, well, how do you know? we hired a basketball coach to be the president of the football. No, Matt Ryan played at the highest level. He's been doing television, doing a great job. He's a smart guy. Have you heard Matt speak? Did you listen to the press conference? Okay. I mean, the guy is smooth and polished, and he gets it. Just like why John Lynch got the job, and that's why Shanahan wanted to hire him in San Fran. So now you trust that Matt's instincts will be right to get it right. And again, as much as I'm worried that Arthur Blank will somehow still screw this up, you hope that Arthur has given him the autonomy and that Arthur will, to your point, say, thank you, Matt. Yes, I accept your recommendations, and these are the guys. because Rich got stale. Rich didn't know what he was doing. They hired Raheem Morris, guys, and now as we're starting to get further and further back from it, it was such an uncompelling hire, you know. And then he hired the wrong assistants, you know. And we wasted some good time. We might have made the playoffs the last two seasons if done right.
Yeah, and we should have. I mean, again,
and that should be appealing to Harbaugh. This is not a reclamation project.
Not by a long shot. 404-726-0929. As we talk about all the things that are going on in the NFL world, we have not even mentioned, and I don't even know because it's an afterthought now with Tomlin stepping away, that beatdown last night. I mean, it was a beatdown. Texans did not allow the Steelers to score. Aaron Rodgers had 22 playoff games. First time ever his team's not been led to a score with him at the helm. Like, that's how good that Texans defense was last night, Mike. It looked like, you know what it looked like? It looked like a high school team playing like a middle school team. They couldn't do anything offensively.
Well, and I was talking to Day-Day earlier today. Like, we're big C.J. Stroud fans. He did everything in his power to give that game back to Pittsburgh. I mean, look, if you're a Texans fan, you got to say he can never look any worse than he did on the road in Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh, that swarming defense, you know, Will Anderson, all those guys they've added, and D'Amico Ryans is freaking great at his job. I mean, and they just, I mean, you watching the Steelers, the Metcalf miss, if he doesn't hit Metcalf, you got no shot. It was pain. It was, guys, how many people are, show of hands. I started flipping around. I could not watch. It was that painful. It was that bad.
It was bad.
And I think, and Arthur Smith, they're grinding. Man, that was brutal. So, yes, I can't imagine C.J. Stroud to look any worse. And now they go to the Patriots. And I still think with that defense, they can make Drake May's life a living hell.
Yeah.
And get the win. But Stroud can't do that in New England.
No. But defense, man, travels. And the thing that you know, we need to be thinking about here is we have the nucleus of a very good young defense. All the teams that I think really have a shot to win it have great defenses that are left. Okay? Broncos, you're talking about Seattle. You saw the number one defense last night in Houston. All that matters, man. This is why it is imperative that we continue to build on what we've got with these young stars on defense. And speaking of being appealing, Mike, that's another appealing thing to Harbaugh. He knows that. He played in the AFC North all them damn years. He knows right. How important it is to have guys that can get to the quarterback and stop the run. And that's what they did last night. Steelers could not run the ball to save their lives. And I'm watching this game and I'm going, this could be us in just a short period of time.
Right. And that's the thing. While Penix, you know, what's the phrase that's not going to trigger people? Gets better.
There you go.
Okay.
Don't say he's broken.
I mean, guys, say fix him. Screw that. Got to fix Penix. Okay. There's some fundamental issues that got to get fixed. But while that works, you run the ball with Bijan, and your defense is lights out. Not to mention, guys, we will have a little bit of money to play with, presuming that Cousins is off the books.
Right.
You know, and then we're also going to have. We do have draft picks. We just don't have a first. So I'm excited. I think you should be, and I think if we get the right coach in here. That's why we should be more attractive than some of the other jobs. The only one I would throw in the mix is if you really think Jackson Dart is the secret sauce, you know, and if you're Harbaugh, that is.
Yeah, because quarterback matters, man. Hey, coming up, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. Also, we will get into some college football conversation as well. Lots of news there with all the portal conversation, guys. Georgia keeps one of their own. It's a big deal. We'll get into that much more, but stay there. When we come back, we're going to let you hear what Matt had to say about taking this job on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hawks play the Lakers tonight, Mike. Apparently, no LeBron. No back-to-back for LeBron.
Wait. How's it?
Huh?
He just put the patch on his jersey, reminding everybody this is his 23rd season. Oh, boy. Talk about an ego stroke. So, no LeBron tonight? Okay, we'll take it. That's a them problem.
Yeah, at least that's what O was saying. It doesn't say for sure, but that's what he had said earlier in the year. I'm not going to be playing back-to-backs. It's my 23rd season.
23rd? 24th. The patch says 23.
Okay. Okay. Either way, we will talk about that a little bit later on. Football's front and center, guys. And rightfully so. Because as Mike and I have been discussing with you, and you can chime in, by the way, 404-726-0929. You can chime in on this. There are no wrong answers, guys, by saying you want this person, you want that person. There are no wrong answers. No one's been hired yet. We don't know exactly when that's going to take place. We do know Matt was like, look, we got to get back to work. He's been on the phones. He's been in these interviews. And he said he's been conducting, or they said today, he's conducting these interviews with the GMs and certainly the coaches. More coaches right now than GMs. But at the end of the day, like, if you feel like this is the right guy, Dukes and Bell, tell us why. Now, Mike, we've got another candidate out there in Mike Tomlin, but it gets a little difficult because you're going to have to probably trade for him.
Right. Now, I don't know how you feel about, you know, we don't have a first-round pick. We went back and looked at what the Broncos had to give the Saints to get Sean Payton. They had his rights. It was an incredible haul for the Raiders, who wound up doing nothing with it, to get John Gruden, two first-rounders, two second-rounders, and $8 million back in 2002. Al Davis drove a hard bargain. But, I'm a little lukewarm on Tomlin. Maybe we'll talk to somebody from Pittsburgh. I know, you talk to fans. You and I just said off the air, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, I was in South Florida at the end of Don Shula's run, you know, where they just couldn't seem to ever get the run game on track with Marino, and the defense was always kind of meh. You know, so it's just... You know, there's always something that you feel you should be aspiring to. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're at that elite level. To lose five wild card first round exits in a row, that's not great.
No, it's not. It's always tough at the end because of the expectations. You know, if we had gotten to five straight playoffs, we'd be ecstatic.
Right.
With where we've been.
Right. Now, Dan Quinn, you know, had he won the Super Bowl, he might still be the head coach right here. Right. We might be complaining about stuff with Dan, but
he's been here too long.
Right, but that's, you know, you're right, exactly right. I think Denny Green famously said at one point in his career that 10 years somewhere is too long.
Yeah, and 19 is a long time. So another guy out there, again, if he's going to be in the mix, we'll see. And again, maybe Mike Tomlin's like, look, I gave everything I had.
Right.
I want some time off.
Time for a fresh. Exactly. Recharge the batteries.
Yeah. Maybe I want some time off. And that would be fine. But I think O said it. He takes a year off. It won't matter. Sean Payton did it. Somebody's going to hire him. He still will get to pick his job if the cycle, whatever that's going to look like. But, you know, sometimes, Mike, you know, everybody said to Sean Payton, don't take that Denver job. Don't do it. They're in cap hell. They got Russell Wilson. He went in and said, well, we ain't got Russell Wilson anymore. And immediately fixed it.
Right.
I don't know if Mike Tomlin's going to be able to do those kinds of things because he is more of a coach than he is a GM. He's always had a GM, as you pointed out, in Pittsburgh. He's not going to come in there, maybe even if he has some say-so. Sean Payton was like, I'm running all of this, and completely changed it in Denver. So it's hard to compare. All I'm saying is the sitting out a year or more doesn't change the perception of what he is.
The good, and as we said, the thing about Tomlin, and we basically were in the same boat. I looked back at their history. Their GM was trying to kind of grind out one more championship run at the end of Roethlisberger's run. Thomas Dimitroff was still throwing money at stuff and bringing free agents in late, and it didn't work out, obviously. But the fact that you're able to make, you know, the playoffs or have winning seasons with some of the bums and some of the stuff they've had to roll out there, you know, Justin Fields wasn't exactly a great answer there. We know that Pickett was a bust. Aaron Rodgers has the mobility of a sleeper sofa at this stage of his career. But the only thing I would say, and it kind of, as I'm kind of going back and forth with some Steelers fans, Arthur Smith was an uncompelling hire. Matt Canada, they wanted to run him out of town 3 years, you know, he was there. You know, so maybe he's sometimes a little stubborn with his coordinators, perhaps.
Yeah, look, I think the Arthur Smith hire was, we don't know what our quarterback situation is, and what did Arthur Smith do with the
Titans?
Run the ball. With that, and what did he do with the Titans when he had a quarterback that nobody thought was a franchise guy and made him into a pretty good player? He didn't do that here because now we know Desmond Ridder was just not that damn good. But I think that was part of the process of, yeah, we're going to run the ball. He'll be committed to it. But then, Mike, you think about the running backs. They had, you know, they went out and I think they drafted Jaylen Warren and – you know, none of these guys, like, just pop off the page. They did not have a Bijan Robinson there. And so, no, it didn't work. At the end of the day, that did not work out the way you thought. And all those guys, by the way, that staff now, I'm curious to see what happens there and what's going to happen with Tomlin stepping away. But you're right. I mean, Arthur Smith probably is back in the marketplace.
Right. But, again, when you don't get the quarterback right, that's why I'm saying it's imperative that why I'm harping on Kubiak for me, you've got to get Penix to where he's supposed to be. You know, if he's your franchise quarterback, if he's everything Terry Fontenot said he was back then, he can't be Kenny Pickett. You realize 2022 is when Pickett got drafted by the Steelers, and it set them back.
Yeah, it did.
They blew it.
We're going to play some Matt Ryan for you. I want to discuss this, though, real quick. When Matt was asked today about Michael Penix, he said, I love the kid, and I'm going to do anything I can to help him, but I'm not a coach. And I think that's important because I know we are immediately going to jump the gun when the season rolls around and we're going, Matt can fix him. It's not Matt's job.
Yeah. He said, I'm not a quarterback's coach.
It's not Matt's job. So I'm glad he said this today because I know we still see him as a great quarterback, and I'm sure he could still throw the hell out the ball if he wants to. But that's not what he's here for. And hopefully, Mike, the guys he hires and the guys they hire and bring in are going to be able to do those things. But please do not get it twisted in the sense that because Matt is now president of football, that he's going to be on the grass, to quote Raw, out there throwing the ball with Michael Penix.
Down there, get off the grass.
He's not going to do that.
See, that's what Philip Oliver asked me. He goes, so what does he do after coach and GM are hired? I said, he helps out without meddling?
Yes. Come to me. What do you need?
He's a resource that won't meddle.
What do you need?
That's why when you and I were arguing earlier in the show, I just wanted him. I had this vision where Matt, he does everything.
It ticked you off a little bit.
Yeah, and because to me, like you hope that, and you believe, and I gotta believe as a Falcon, you gotta have hope that Matt's gonna nail this, right? But you've replaced Rich McKay with Matt, with a new, fresh set of eyes, and hopefully he gets it right. I just wanted Arthur Blank completely out of the loop, but as you said, no billionaire is going to do that until they can pry the ownership from his cold, numb fingers.
Yeah, I just feel like all these owners, even the idiot ones, and we don't have an idiot in owner, even the idiot ones are like, okay, who are we bringing in?
Right.
And they still sign the check.
Right. Like the Haslams, the Bidwells.
Yes.
You know, there's some, and you, yes. Unfortunately, but here's the thing, though. When you don't go to the playoffs for 8 years, you're kind of in that same neighborhood.
Yeah, look, I would tell you, Mike, that I think more people are excited and happy that Rich McKay is not in the process, much more than they are whether with Arthur answering and saying, bring me what you have and let's move. I think there are more people, and we've had this discussion with tons of you guys and ladies, about Rich. I think you're more happy and excited about the fact that that is now truly not a part of this. And Arthur's just Arthur. That's just, he's the owner. It is what it is. If you're not excited about that, because that's all we've heard for the last 3 to 5 years is, when is Rich out? When is Rich out? When is Rich out? And I've said to you guys, he still does business things for Arthur, A&B Group. That's not going away. He's still got a great business mind, and he still does a lot of stuff for A&B. But as far as the football stuff, can we truly now turn the page on that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look, we joked around. You didn't need Sportology to say, get rid of Rich McKay. Come up to Section 342. Because fans like me and Coach, who sits behind me, and Dave and all the gang, we all know that Arthur's never selling the team. He's not relinquishing control. So that's a constant. Okay, so what's the next constant? Rich McKay. That's a continent. Now, there's a variable in the equation we can get out of there. And they did. My only fear would be that Matt comes with this proposal. Matt says to Arthur Blank, here's my coach idea. Here's my general manager idea. And Arthur goes, I like it, Matt. Let me sit on that for a second.
What?
Doot, 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 doot. So, Rich, what do you think about
that? No.
Now, nobody in the organization would ever say that's
good. No.
Rich and Arch are still bestie buddies.
No. Mike, he's his business partner.
Yes.
He's running things for him. Right. I want to separate the two. And here's the deal. I said this about Terry Fontenot. I said it about Raw. I'm going to say it about our new coach. I want to give Matt the space to do this job. And then if it goes good, I'll praise him. If it goes bad, I'm not killing Rich McKay for the job Matt did. Matt is now the president of football. It's on you. That's how I'm approaching this. And if he makes great decisions and we move the way we need to move in the A, then it is all about his decisions and bringing in the right people. I'm not giving Rich credit for that, but I'm also not going to blame him for that. I'm giving Matt the space to do this job. And then when whoever the hell he brings in, let's give the new head coach an opportunity to either make it right, Mike, or fail, as we've seen the last two head coaches come in here and do.
I wish, what I'm wishing for, it doesn't exist. And that's Arthur to not be involved in this process at all. That Matt would have the final say. Matt, I handed it to Matt, and it's on his shoulders. But that's not the case. That's what we learned today in the press conference.
All right, let me hear Matt talk about what he's looking for a head coach. We got plenty more to hear throughout the course of the day. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I loved what he had to say today. Again, he's not telling you everything because there's a lot of stuff still going on. This is a fluid with these interviews, but here's what he's looking for as characteristics.
Oh, there are certain things from my perspective as a player that you look for. Character, you know, being one of those. I think emotional stability, it's hard. It's a really difficult job to do, and there's lots of highs and lows, and some of the best guys that I was around in those positions were very stable emotionally, and that's certainly one thing I'll be looking for. You know, and I think there's got to be a level of presence that you have to have, you know, as a coach, and the ability to command respect of your players. It doesn't mean, you know, you've got to be the most vocal or the best interview or the best in a press conference. It just means you've got to be able to connect with the players that you have. And so, you know, I view it from the lens of what I always wanted and what I needed from coaches and some of the best that I was around.
Interesting stuff there. Command the respect of the guys you coach. And he's right. I mean, and you don't have to be a yeller and a screamer to do that, especially in the NFL. I mean, these are full-grown men. You're not going to get their attention that way. But that is his vision of what he is potentially looking for in the new head coach or the next head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And, we'll see where it goes. Right now, who's atop the leaderboard? That's what I would love to know. Who is it automatically Harbaugh? I hope so. Or is it somebody else, Mike, as you've been discussing,
right,
that, hey, we really like this guy, and this is why we like. I'd love to see that if they're already there. I think they interviewed six head coaches already. Six
right.
Interviews.
And guys are asking about the Rooney Rule. I mean, Mike McDaniels technically checks that box, so there's other guys that will come in for the process. But as far as, you know, John Harbaugh, Diana Rossini reporting that it's Titans, Giants, Falcons. That's what she's hearing. As far as if there is a short list for John Harbaugh, that's good news. We're on it. If you want Harbaugh.
If you want him.
And now the problem is I want Kubiak, but you're going to have to wait a long time for that. Just like, you know, remember Dan Quinn? We had to wait for Dan Quinn with the Seattle Super Bowl run.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're locked in on that and he's good with it, then you can wait.
Correct.
You like, as long as you know that's what's going to happen. But you can't wait if you're unsure that that's what's going to happen, which means a deal would be done behind the scenes,
yes,
and then would not, yes, be announced until they end up,
exactly,
losing or,
exactly,
winning the Super Bowl.
All of that. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. 404-726-0929. By the way, Anse Saleh, Mike, our general manager of the Hawks, also spoke about the trade. We're going to let you hear a little bit of that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well. As we mentioned, more Matt conversation here today because it's really interesting, guys, to be quite honest. And we don't know. We'd love to sit here and tell you. I don't think anybody knows where this is going to go. They may surprise us with somebody that we're like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't, where do you fall on the Anthony Davis thing? Fall is the operative word. I want no part of
it. I don't
Anthony
either.
Davis.
I don't either. No, too hurt, man.
Yeah,
too hurt.
I mean, there was a time that was the piece, but not now, especially with the young nucleus. Now, again, younger guys that can play that, you know, play the front court, play the post. Don't grow on trees. I think they're committed to, at least the soundbite I saw, you and I were talking about Okongwu. Just, we need some help. He needs help in the front court.
He does. All right, we're going to come back. We'll talk some college football. A couple of dogs announcing, wait, they're returning? That's a thing now?
Yeah, it's like, when is not a thing become a thing? Thanks to the portal.
That's a thing. We'll tell you more about who LSU is signing and what dogs are apparently staying. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.